Okay, today was a unique day for us as pastors. This is the first time in our history in which all three pastors were all preaching on the same topic on the same day at three different churches. Pastor Kelly was preaching trust over at St. Mark's. Pastor Toby is preaching trust over at Calvary, and I'm preaching trust here at Glenville. We are in the final of our application series, and we were talking about apps for life and the apps that you found on the smartphone. And one of the things we pointed out that it's not enough just to have the app. You actually got to use the thing and make it work for you, for it to do you any good. Okay, we started this series off. I was the first one to preach. First sermon I preached was the app of forgiveness. Pastor Kelly, she preached. Her app was confession. Pastor Toby, she came and preached the app of encouragement. And I am going to preach the final one in the series, which is the app of trust. The value of trust. You can pray for me as I'm preaching. I was real sick this week, and I didn't know if I was going to be preaching today. But by God's grace and mercy, I'm standing up here. Somebody prayed for me, and I thank God for you. Okay, trust is something that all of us need in life in order for us to make it through. All of us are going to have to trust somebody, okay? And somebody's going to have some trust in us in order for us to make it through. Now, unfortunately, we often think, we often make the mistake of thinking, if I break somebody's trust, that's no big deal. But when trust is missing in our lives, life becomes much more difficult. Now, contrary to what teenagers might think, no parent looks forward to the day when they can say, I can't wait for the day to come when I can't trust my teenagers anymore. I just can't wait for it. No child says, oh, I can't wait till I get old enough so I don't have to trust my parents. No spouse looks forward to the day when they say, I can no longer trust my spouse. So let me ask you, how do we get to the place in which these statements appear to have some truth to it? Why is it that parents are unable to trust teens? Why is it that children are unable to trust parents? Why is it that couples are unable to trust each other, whether they are married or not? Because when these days arrive in a person's life of not being able to trust, there is a feeling of isolation, there's a feeling of loss, there's a feeling of pain in your heart. So why is it that trust is so important? It's because giving someone your trust is like giving them a piece of you to keep with them and to take with them in your place. Now, those of you who are sci-fi fans, you'll be able to help me out in this sermon. Because you know all about clones and drones and all those kind of things. Those of you who are not, here's what a clone is. A clone is a duplicate of yourself. It may not be able to do all the things that you do, but that's what the clone looks like. So I want you to imagine that you have a clone. And whenever you have to go and do something, your clone is your trust, and you can leave that clone there with the person whom you are trusting, and that clone can go with that person or persons wherever they need to go, and nobody else can see the clone except that person. There is the understanding by the other person that our trust clone is very important to us. And nothing should be done to hurt or to injure that clone, and it should be protected at all costs. Okay, so now you are a single mom, and it's time to go to work. You don't have to worry about your kids inviting people over that they're not supposed to invite over. Why? Because you left your trust clone with them and you go on about your business. Or, fellas, somebody shows up at your house to date your daughter and you can't go on the date with them, but you give them your trust clone and says he is going to be with you so you can go on about your business. Or you've got to go on a business trip and you'll be away for couple of weeks at a time, and the other spouse says, well, here's my trust clone, take the clone with you. Or your boss has to leave early from the job, and he knows that if he leaves his trust clone there, none of you would be trying to goof off or sneak out of work early. Not that any of you from Glenville would ever do anything like that. I know it's hard for you to imagine, but in other churches there are people that would do stuff like that. Now, the one thing about this trust clone is that this trust clone speaks very loudly and irritating, but only you can hear it when you are about to do something to violate the trust. And the only way you can stop it from making that noise is to think the word knife. And when you think the word knife, a knife goes into the trust clone and stops it. Now, nobody can see the knife unless you get caught. So you can do all kind of stuff and take the trust clone back, and as long as the person don't know anything about it, they don't even know what happened. Okay? So you just think the word knife. Okay. Now, if the person to whom the clone belongs discovers the betrayal, then all the knife wounds appear. Okay, now I want you to use your imagination one more time with me. I want you to meet Ronald and John. Ronald has told John, his best friend, there's a party going on this weekend. There's nothing going to be there but alcohol, drugs, and stoned out girls. Some of y'all tomorrow, where is that party? You're not going. A group of teens are going to have this party at their house because the teens' parents are away. Now, John is 15 and Ronald is 16. And now, what do you think will happen if John goes and says, Mom, there's a party going on and I'd like to show up? What do you think would happen? She would say, no. So he's smart enough to not go in there and do that. So what does he go in there and do? He says, Mom, Ronald and I would like to go see this new movie that just came out. And his mother, she loves her son, and she says, well, do you need any extra money for the movie? Sure, I'll take some extra money. Here's some extra money for the popcorn. And so when they get ready to go, she says, now, John, take my trust clone with you and protect her. And John, sure. So they take off to this party. And as they are driving, or Ronald is driving, he passes by the movie theater. What do you think happens? The trust clone says, stop! Stop! John says, I can't stand this. Knife! Clone stops. So then they get to the house, and the music is playing and everything, and the trust clone again says, don't go! Don't go! Don't go! And what does he say? I can't stand this noise, knife. And she shuts up again. And they go in there and they sway into the beat, and then all of a sudden the drugs start to come around. And when it gets to John, she says, don't do it! Don't do it! Don't do it! He says, ah, knife! And this is a party of party. And so the police show up at this party and they are carted away to jail. And since they are underage, they wait for their parents to come and pick them up. And John's mother gets the phone call, your son is down at the jailhouse, and she's thinking, man, what kind of movie was this? And when she gets there and she sees John and she sees her trust clone with a knife in her heart, a knife in her throat, a knife in her back. All of them put there by the son she loves and trusted. Each one placed there by a deliberate choice to disobey her trust. If you were that mom, what feelings would be going through your mind? How easily are you going to trust John again? Is John going anywhere next week? The week after that? Is John still alive? Trust, spiritually speaking, we don't want any of y'all going to jail. Trust is something we freely give to others when we want to have faith and confidence in them. And the giving of our trust is, in essence, giving a part of ourselves to someone else. And when that trust is broken, it's like somebody takes a knife and stabs it in us. And the closer the person is to us, the deeper the cut and the hurt. Now, we may say, all it was I just went to the party without permission. No, you're missing that you put knives into this other person and destroyed their trust. Trust is one of the most important ingredients in human relationships. It's one of the most valuable items in the life of a healthy family or a healthy relationship. How many of you know when a family member cannot be trusted, it brings misery to everybody else that lives in that house? And trust can be broken in all kind of ways. It can be as simple as saying something in the home that was supposed to stay in the home, but somebody went and took it outside of the home and caused a whole bunch of mess. One person stealing in the home betrays trust. Someone lying in the home betrays trust. Someone disobeying the rules in the home betrays trust. Someone acting irresponsibly with sex betrays trust. Why? Because somebody else pays the price for another person's actions. You see, one person's irresponsibility forces somebody else to act more responsible to cover up for it. And the person who breaks the trust of another usually does not understand the size of the pain or the rift that was created. They are tempted to say, it wasn't that bad, just give me another chance. But if they could see the knife wounds on your trust clone, they'd realize they did more damage than they thought. Somebody's gonna have to give me a paper towel or a Kleenex or something before I get wet up here with sweat. I got one, thank you. Oh, maybe I'll be able to do some Holy Ghost preaching up here today. So, if you've been untrustworthy, unfortunately, it's too hot. Trust that has been given freely and stabbed by another person is trust that you have to take some time to rebuild in order to gain it again. And there has to be a real repentance on that other person's part. Now, we have this false idea that even though I can't be trusted right now, one day something is going to happen and I will become a trustworthy person. That is not what Jesus said happened. Now, although Jesus used this statement in the context of money, I am convinced that he was making a principle that applies across life. He said in Luke 16:10-12, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have been not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Jesus is saying integrity and honesty matters. If you make it matter in small things, you will make it matter in large things. You see, our character is constantly being formed by the small choices we are making. We are setting the path for our future concerning how we are going to handle other people's trust. And the Bible says the best indicator of your future actions is what you have done in the past, short of a major change in your life. So if you've always been doing something, chances are, unless something dramatic happened, you're going to keep on doing that. Now, every now and then, I try to talk to some of the guys in my class, and you got a girlfriend? Girlfriend? I got two girlfriends. And I'm like, aren't you saved? What's that got to do with two girlfriends? Well, for those of you who claim to have two boyfriends or two girlfriends, you are already setting the stage for betraying somebody who thinks they're in love with you. Why not be honest and go and tell boyfriend A, you know, just want you to know, I'm seeing Billy. Boyfriend B, just want you to know, I'm seeing Lawrence. See how many phone calls you got tomorrow. What makes you think that somehow you're going to quit playing the field and automatically just become faithful Bill, faithful Susie? You know, one of the greatest disappointments on my wedding day, I was waiting for him to say, you are now husband and wife. And I don't know what I was thinking was going to happen, but I thought there was going to be a cataclysmic event in the heavens. And he said, you are now husband and wife. I'm like, I'm the same person I was before he said that. So everything had changed but me. I was still the same old me. And all the bad habits and everything I had before I got married, guess what? I had them after I got married. Just as a side, some of you think you got marriage problems. You don't have marriage problems. You have single problems that you brought into the marriage. Because you were selfish before you got married. It had nothing to do with that. You were untrustworthy before you got married. It didn't have nothing to do with that. What makes you think just because you got married, you're going to become, I'm a one-woman man. I'm a one-man woman. If you are not faithful in keeping the trust in something small, you will not do it when it counts for something big. For those of you who keep demonstrating your parents cannot trust you, what makes you think one day you're going to become an adult and your spouse or your boss is going to be able to trust you? You know, for those of you whose parents cannot trust you to clean up your room, what makes you think all of a sudden when you get ready to drive, they got to trust you with a car? Pastor Tobin must have went and cleaned. If you are showing already, you saying you at one place and you somewhere else, why are we going to give you a car so you can get 20 miles further from where you said? Your past record is the best indicator of what your future behavior is going to be like. If you are not trustworthy in small things at age 8, you will still be untrustworthy at age 48. For those of you who constantly demonstrate you cannot be trusted in the church to stay out of places you're not supposed to be in, that makes you think the Lord all of a sudden is going to bless you with all kind of positions of authority. Each time you come to church, you are determining if others can give you their trust. As a church, we automatically give you a certain level of trust when you walk through the door. We don't even make you take a test. We just trust you. Now, how much of it you keep depends entirely on you. You lose the trust of others when you refuse to follow the rules. You lose trust when you gossip about other people. You lose trust when you don't live up to your responsibilities. When you lose trust, you lose your effectiveness to be used by God. Now, nobody is going to be interested in hearing me get up here and preach next Sunday if I'm on channel 19 all week. Pastor of Glenville New Life Community Church. Home was raided today with 50 kilos of cocaine, 42 bales of marijuana. Now, suppose they arrested me and went to court and it found out I was not guilty because they had an illegal search warrant. How many of y'all are ready to vote me back into the office of the church? Somebody want a dollar? None. How many of you would be willing to forgive me? Okay. Y'all forgiving me has nothing to do with your thinking I need to be back up here next week. So you can say, Pastor Rick, I love you. I forgive you. Here's the want ads. Why? Because I have betrayed your trust. And the same thing with us. When we betray the trust that has been put in us, nobody want to hear you get up here and sing a solo and do this and a that. And you cause it all kind of hell in the church, won't listen to anybody? We think that just because we get older, we get better. No! The scripture says the older we get, the worse we get. Because sin's got more time to work whatever it needs to work. Now, a commitment to change does not make the change happen. And a commitment is of little value if the person is not prepared to keep it or is unable to keep it. The desire may be there, but the power to keep it may not. Now, suppose you was hungry and homeless, and a 6-year-old came up to you and said, I commit to take care of you for the rest of your life. Now, you better prepare for an early death. The promise may have been sincere, but he lacked the ability to make it happen. What 6-year-old you know got a job that can provide you with food, clothing, and shelter? It was a nice thought, and that was all it was. When you shatter or stab the trust of another person, it's not just a matter of saying, I'm sorry, and thinking that you immediately get back into the place you were before. You know, those knives that were in that clone, if you pull the knife out, there's still a wound there that needs to heal. So it's going to take some time. And then when you say you're sorry, are you sorry because you went and told the person what you did? Or are you sorry because you got caught in what you did? They're not quite the same thing. Now, I'm not saying you go and you confess everything you did wrong to somebody who does not know about it. There are some things that every last one of us have done that don't nobody need to know about that but God. You need to confess it to God and leave it alone. But if you done got caught and the person says, "Did you?" You need to be honest if you want the relationship to be restored. Because if you don't, it's not going to be good in the future. Restoring another person's trust in you is going to take some time. The injured person needs to know that you're telling them the whole, say whole truth. Now, if you're telling the story in a way that makes you look good, or you look like the real victim, you know, what was you doing? It wasn't my fault. I was sitting in the back seat. I didn't even know they was going there. And then we find out you the one driving the car. Your apology just went down the tubes. Part of the price of restoring trust is to make a real confession of your behavior. That's the only way genuine forgiveness can take place. And then you got to put some action behind your word. Now you got to open yourself. You got to open yourself to being questioned without getting an attitude. Well, where you going this time? I'm going over to gym. You sure you're going over to gym? Yeah, I said I was going over to gym. Why are you asking me all these questions? Because you were the one that broke the trust. What clothes you got there in that bag? I ain't got no clothes in there. You sure? You ain't got no clothes in that bag? Now you know you got clothes that you ain't supposed to put on when you get to school in that bag. Other people's parents don't be asking them what kind of things they got in the bag. Maybe they didn't get their trust broken. So we got to remember the questions wouldn't be there if we hadn't done the violating. And then when you apologize, you need to just take responsibility for your actions. You don't put a but in your apology. You know, I'm sorry for doing this, but if you hadn't, you ain't sorry. You still trying to blame them. You just go ahead and take responsibility for what you did. And when you're sorry, you repent, which means you change and go in another direction. Now, this may mean you got some painful choices to make. You might have to give up some things you like doing. You may have to give up some friends, because some friends just gonna keep taking you down the same road. Sometimes you may have to give up looking at your job and find another one. Sometimes you got to get your cell phone and delete everybody you got in that thing. Sometimes you need to go to your Facebook account and just delete the mess. Now, some of y'all got some Facebook pictures and accounts that if we showed them up on the screen, all of a sudden, trustworthy God, we thank you that you are a forgiving God. We thank you, God, that because of you, we always have hope. If I couldn't show it in church, I certainly don't want somebody seeing it out there. Couple just got through writing a book. It says, From 0 to 60. They do a lot of marital counseling. And they have found that if a married couple if one of the members in that couple hooks up with an old boyfriend or girlfriend on Facebook, in 60 days, they will usually end up meeting somewhere they're not supposed to meet. Now, I know most of us are thinking, that might have happened to them, but it certainly won't happen to me. All right. Let me finish this message here. I think I'm already almost over time. If you want to restore trust that you destroyed, you are the one that's got to be willing to rebuild that trust. You are the one who've got to prove yourself to the other person. If you get that attitude, I don't have to prove myself to no one, you already done missed the boat. You see, the whole reason Jesus came into this world is because we have a problem with the human heart and the human will. We want others to trust us. And the moment they do, we will use that to get what it is we want to do. Sin makes betrayers out of us all if we are not surrendered unto God. And you can't get rid of sin by just saying, I'm going to try harder the next time. You get rid of sin by acknowledging, Jesus, I need you in my life in order to keep me from betraying the trust of others. You see, Jesus isn't just trying to change your behavior. He wants to change the way we think, the way that we act. He wants us to understand it's through him living in and through us that we discover the reason for not betraying others in the first place. When someone comes to us in genuine repentance, it is up to us to be willing to forgive and to encourage them to walk in the will of God. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they were the best of friends. They had a great team ministry, and they were going on this missionary journey, and they took Barnabas' cousin, whose name was Mark. They call him John Mark. And they had made a pact. They was going to be like this and had each other's back. And they went, and man, they ran into some rough, rough times. Paul ended up getting stoned. They got kicked out of a whole bunch of cities. Mark said, enough of this nonsense. I'm going home. He deserted them, and he went back home. Well, a few years later, Paul and Barnabas was getting ready to go on another journey. And Barnabas says, hey, let's take John Mark. Paul says, I'm not taking that dude. He said he had our back. He didn't have our back. Barnabas said, yeah, but he's changed. Paul said, he may have changed. I don't think so. They got into a heated disagreement. And so Barnabas finally, and Paul says, okay, Barnabas says, I'll take John Mark and I'll go this way. Paul says, fine, I'll take Silas and I'll go this way. Last we ever heard of Barnabas in the scripture. But in the very last book that Paul writes this, and he says, contact John Mark and bring him to me, because he has been helpful to me in my ministry. Which means that John Mark took the time to prove that he really was who he said, and he really did change. And it shows that the Apostle Paul really did forgive him and ended up encouraging him, but it came about because of a confession, of a forgiveness, of a trust, and of an encouragement to each other. Now, every last one of us here is going to fall in some area in our walk with God before we reach the shores of heaven. But that doesn't mean God is through with us, because this same John Mark that Paul had said, I don't want nothing to do with him, not only was he restored, God ended up using him to write the gospel of Mark. So even though when we fail, it doesn't mean it's over. God still has a plan. I don't know which side of the trust issue you might be on today, but I want you to know, whether you've been betrayed or whether you're the one doing the betraying, God is calling for a change in your life, because we all need the work of the Spirit in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, boy. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are a trustworthy God. We thank you that you are a forgiving God. We thank you, God, that because of you, we always have hope. Lord, if there's someone here today that's been hurt because they've been betrayed, or if there's someone here, Lord, who has betrayed someone and they need to just get back on track with you, then God, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts and let them know that your power is available. Work in us all this day, God. In Jesus' name, amen.